A very good morning as you begin your footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your host today, myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mal Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. On the show this morning, we look at Blues and AFL news and we review the games against the Dockers and the Saints. Special guest interview today is 1995 Premiership hero Matthew Hogg.
He needs my book.
We cross live to the Hyphen David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front and provide information on the Blues events, which is a very big one coming up next Sunday, and anything else we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, as my throat's a bit dusty.
You're a bit croaky, mate.
I'm a bit croaky. We couldn't do this show without our loyal... Go on, Mel, sorry.
I was going to say, who's up and about in here this morning?
Not me.
Mel's the only one up and about. Yeah.
These guys are all a bit shady, but anyway.
We could do this show without our loyal sponsors, Craig.
No, look, we definitely can't. We'd like to thank WA Blues, major sponsor Hyundai WA, platinum sponsors Allmark and Associates, Master Picture Framers in Cannington, Tech Tiger, Barbaro Butchers, and our great mate Alton from Carlton at ICU Finance Group.
Thank you, Craig, and you sounded a little bit dusty there.
I am very dusty.
A bit tired. Emotional?
Not emotional, no.
Tired, emotional, no.
I'm a bit upset about the game last night, yes.
Fair enough, all right. Listen, while you're hot...
I'm always hot.
I'm not sure about that, but that's debatable. Let's go into Blues news and any updates, mate.
Yeah, but look, I'll do that in a sec, but first I just want to give a bit of a shout-out. A good friend of mine has moved over from Warrnambool here to Perth, Mandy Nee. She's got her own business here called Green Room Decor at 34 8th Avenue, Bayswater. Any nursery goods, guys, go see her. Big shout out to Mandy, and we'll get on to this Blues news.
That's okay, Mandy. You can pay for that ad later. That's okay.
She came to a function. She's a Essendon girl with Carlton second team, she told me, so half converted her. But, yeah, look, I'll keep Blues news pretty brief today because I know Mel's got a fair bit to go through with what's going on with the AFLW and the Carlton respects, and she's probably got more to say than me because I'm a bit rusty. But it was interesting to listen to Brian Cook speak during the week about the redevelopment of Icon Park, how it's nearing its end, and it looks like there's going to be more upgrades.
Do you know what I really liked about what Cookie said is how he's loving that the AFLW and the AFL are combined and they're training together.
They're integrated.
They're a really tight-knit group, which is good to see.
It's looking phenomenal too. I like it with the big CFC crest.
It's looking fantastic. So we'll see what happens there with that. I won't go too much into the Blues.
Injuries.
It's not much.
Yeah, come on, mate. Tell us about it.
This might actually make me feel better about last night's result if we hear the injuries.
There's 18.
Who are they? Tell me.
Well, okay.
How many of them are out for the season?
None. Not a couple. Jordan Boyd with his foot. It looks like, they're now saying it could be pretty much the season.
Oh, God. He was looking really good too.
Yeah, Lockie Fogarty with his back. They're saying he should be. I'm not quite sure he's named in the Magoos this week. I haven't seen the side as yet.
We're not playing.
We've
got a buy or something, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't think we could have filled it.
So it looks like he'll probably play the week after. Sam Phillip with his foot. It looks like it could be the season for him as well. Adam Cherrill, we know he played last night. Jack Martin with a calf. He was a test. But they've got to air a bit cautious with him, and he'll be right next week, hopefully.
Well, hopefully Martin and Widders back in.
Well, Wiedering, they're saying, is a definite next week. But Pitonet with his knee, we're not sure. McGovern, he's back training. Sam
Pitto actually looked like he was running quite well at
McGovern
training.
Looked really good.
Mm. No, I said Pitto.
Oh, I thought you... Well, I was talking about McGovern. You bring up Pitto. Don't confuse me, Mel.
It's not hard.
Not this morning. So, yeah, Mitch McGovern.
We'd like to give a shout-out to all those places in Northbridge that we went to last night. Thanks for that. Thanks for the hospitality.
It was great. Thanks for the headache, sore throat. But, Sam Durden with a knee, they're saying, 2 weeks ago they were saying 2 to 3 weeks. Luke Parks, we know, is the season. And Zach Williams, he's back running.
Oh, that's
but
decent.
But it's still looking like it's going to be a while off yet. And as we were talking before the show, David Cunningham.
He's
nothing,
mystery one,
no
he?
Update at all on him. Or they've got him as listed as to be advised. Nothing listed at all.
People like Fogarty, Philp, do you reckon they're kind of now teetering on the danger of losing their spot on the AFL list?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Would you even put Cunningham into that position yet? Or I know he's got a lot of upside.
No,
so.
Cunningham. Philp's iffy.
Mm. Guys, what's the update on Parks?
I just said
foot. Oh, foot.
Yeah.
Season. Okay.
Season-ending injury. Yeah.
But a good shout-out to the Blue Baggers, mate. 85,000 members.
That was going to be my next thing. We've hit 85,000 members.
Oh, sorry.
But he steals me thunder.
Okay. Do you need to give another shout-out to anybody else this morning? Like, Rin, you want to give Rin a shout-out?
No, I won't give Rin
okay.
a shout-out.
I just thought you might want to give a shout-out. That's okay. All right. Okay. Thanks for that, Craig.
New Carlton supporter.
You know, one thing you did miss is a very big happy birthday to Sid Jackson for yesterday.
78.
Oh, yeah. 78. Well done. So, happy birthday, Sid.
I didn't
still
see that
going strong up. Too, Sid. He's looking always good.
Yep. Geez, you're good, Mel. Lucky we've got you today, I tell you.
Keep us on track, Mel. What about AFL and AFLW news?
No, before I move on, we're sticking with Carlton news. Obviously, this round, everyone would have noticed respect rounds. And this is a matter very close to my heart.
That's why I left it for you, darling.
It's funny you say that. Look, I know, listeners, this is a radio show, but the visual here, like Craig's got his orange respect face on this morning.
Yep.
No, we do. We've got our shirts on.
No face.
It's okay. No, don't take anything away from what I'm talking about, please, Chris. This is a very,
very important.
Oh, you've been shut down.
Yes, it is.
Carlton Respects is a flagship community program of the Carlton Football Club that aims to educate in the community about gender equality to prevent violence against women. Carlton Respect was established in response to the alarming statistics around family violence in Australia, where on average one woman is killed every week in the hands of a current or former partner. Research from Our Watch identifies that the sport has the capacity to influence, inform and shape attitudes about the importance of the issue, such as gender equality. These stats and numbers are alarming, and it makes me super proud to be at Carlton Football Club member. And it is 8 in 10 women aged 18 to 14 were harassed and on the streets. It's just absolutely diabolical, the numbers that we're looking at. So I get behind it. Some of the Vossi has been amazing this week with his opinion of his beliefs in the respect rounds. So we raise so much money, and it's more about the awareness as well.
What you touch on with awareness, like, say, for instance, last night, like, I think we did a really good job with incorporating the bit of the orange into the jersey. And, sitting there along with our friends, it actually got, I had friends asking me that don't know much about Carlton or whatever, and just said, well, what's with the orange? And it got the
conversation started,
and it's good. I think they've done a really good job with incorporating it into the jersey this year.
It was interesting. I listened to Mitch McGovern, Lockie O'Brien, and Liam Stocker. Liam Stocker was one that really grabbed. He spoke really well.
I love his heart.
Makes you feel very proud to be a Carlton supporter, doesn't it? There's a lot of pride with it.
Don't steal Jesse's love, child.
No. Okay.
We can share him, Jess. It's fine.
Yeah, I'll find others. Marchbank.
So that's my little thing on respect round. So
on respect round, and I don't want to diminish it because it's very important, but do you know since 2016 when we've started that, we've never won on respect round?
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's not a good stat.
No.
Yeah, why bring it down? It's such a positive thing that we're doing. So everyone,
no, it is. It's fantastic.
You know, like they say, pull your socks up and everyone get behind and respect round.
And just our pre-match function next Sunday, everyone that comes in, a gold coin donation will go to Carlton Respects.
Oh, beautiful.
I might give $5.
About time.
You tired us?
Anyway, let's go on AFLW news.
Okay, where should we start?
Probably.
Well,
at the beginning.
Well, I just want to, well, Clayton Oliver's contract, guys. Like, I know, well, you want AFL news? It's the highlight of the AFL
about
news.
The women.
You, every time I mention AFL news, you shut me down. But
we don't care.
He's contracted to 2030, guys.
I know. Big contract.
And
how are they going to fit them all in?
$7 million. It's apparently meant to be worth $7 million contract. So
that's all right. They'll have a bit to spare when they lose their ruckman.
But that's what that's the next thing. They don't know whether there's talk about him coming back to Frio.
Well,
I think Blake Jackson will leave.
I can tell you now, I've got the inside on this.
I will not
give my contact away, but
do you play for Freo?
He
is he small and plays in the forward line?
He has. I have been told that at the end of the season, Luke Jackson will talk only with Fremantle and Melbourne.
But you wouldn't want to talk to West Coast, would you? The way they're going at the moment. I shouldn't say that.
We've got them next week. Just calm down.
And okay, back to Mel now.
Yes, back to me. And what about young Hipwoods?
That was
straight
weird,
to
wasn't
tribunal,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah, straight to the tribunal. I think he's going to go for that. Intentional push that took out the umpire. So, yeah.
And it resulted in his goal.
He got a goal from it.
Well, open space and took
Fife got off, so he might.
Yeah.
That's another one.
I can't believe you can push the umpire, but you can't go, hey, put your hands up.
Yeah.
You know, guys, it's just crazy at the moment.
I can't even believe that Stewart only got 4 weeks.
For his hit on Prestia.
That was pretty...
That was weak as water.
It was a big hit, that. It was a big
off
hit.
Off the ball, late.
Yeah, late. It was very
should
late.
Have been, if that had been Toby Green, that would be 7 weeks.
Okay, guys, we've got to move on to the AFLW, and we did have the draft a couple of days ago, and we have picked up some absolute crackers. We have our pick number 18 was Mia Austin. Mia came, pardon?
Didn't we have one before that?
Yeah, number 16, yeah. Killy Skepper.
You just went to 18 first,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, just, you know.
Fair enough. Okay.
I like the number 18. Okay. You know. I'll start with pick 17, Keely Skepper. She's from the Murray Bush Rangers. She's a midfielder. Under 18s, all Australian. So she's going to be very handy. Apparently, she plays in the midfield, but she's very versatile and can.
Hard at it.
I think I was reading something this morning. She seems very excited to be there. They reckon she's not going to. The club are going to have to try kick her out of Icon Park. She can't wait to get down there. So that's good signs.
And did everyone see the AFLW girls at the game yesterday? And they did the guard of honour for the banner.
No, I didn't notice that.
So there were Breanne Mooney, Ella Whiffy. They were all there. It was great to see.
That's
so
good to see. Wish I'd take our phone call, but that's another story.
And then moving on to pick 18. Was Mia Austin, like I mentioned. She was from the Eastern Rangers, and she's a ruck and a forward. So also a very good pickup. She was named the Ruck NAB League Team of the Year. She was a standout performer for the Rangers over the course of the season. So she's definitely going to be very handy for us.
So good depth in that ruck stocks then for the AFLW?
Yeah.
And then we move on to pick 48. We've got Lily Goss, who is another midfielder, which is going to be handy again. And then Jessica Jones. She was from North Melbourne, and she's a key defender. So we've got some depth there as well. So
That's Zoe Goss. Zoe Goss?
Lily.
Zoe Goss.
Zoe Goss was a cricketer.
I listened to the interview with Daniel Harford and Mimi Hill. She was pumped to get
They're
to
so
get
excited.
Signed. Yeah.
Yep.
It's good to see.
Good to
up
see.
Up and about.
Yep.
All right. Is that it, Mel?
Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. Jesse, let's do a positive first.
Yeah,
let's review the Fremantle game.
Oh, Mel.
Okay. Yep. You're not at school, Mel. You put your hand up.
With you lot, I have to. Another thing you missed of the Blues news, Craig, was Bring Back the Wolf.
Oh, yes, that was good.
I did miss that. That was good last night as well.
Yeah. See, lucky I'm here.
Ange Christou on the jumper punch.
Yep, absolutely.
He's handed over to Adam Sard.
He did. We may have Rocco on next week. Well, let's wait and see.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That'd be wicked. But Christou, handing over the Bring Back the Wolf thing. That was awesome. I think it fits well. Like, Sard grew up. He grew up next door.
They were next door neighbours.
That's crazy. Cool. I think Andrew's trying to get him to take the number 39 at one stage there, but Sardi loves that 42.
He likes his 42.
But he was actually probably one of our best players against Fremantle the other week. He's been so good. And look, I think the way we played against Fremantle was our best performance of the year. Vossi said it. We just like the 6 day break has hurt us. I think the 6 day break has really hurt us. Yeah.
You can't miss the 40 possessions for Walshy. Like, he was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, career best figures for him. He was sensational all day. Would have been nice if he hit the scoreboard, but he tries every week. We try, and unfortunately this week it just, if you don't kick those goals. And what was it, 10 goals, 18 or something in the end? That's the game there, unfortunately.
18-10.
We found a way to lose that last night, which is surprising. Like, we've been finding ways to win, but we'd really actually found a way to lose. Which was,
you know, four behinds from Charlie. That's what's like, come on, guys.
There's a couple. And Harry.
Oh, well, he only had one.
De Koning
was a big miss. Hewitt was a big miss at crucial stages in that third quarter. Durden along the ground. It was a crucial miss. But look, the only positive I take from last night's game is Jesse Motlop, I thought.
Yeah. I was excited.
He's going to be a good kid. Not much to review about this week.
But we'll also have a chat with the Hyphen about the last two games when he comes on. All right. Okay, time now to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors.
Got that book?
Yes, please. But when we return, we cross live to 1995 Premiership player Matthew Hogg. Go the Blues.
Go the Baggers.
Your WA Blues are the official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, but most importantly, watching the mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues.
Hey Blue Baggers, Patrick Cripps and Darcy Vessio here from the Carlton Football Club.
Are you in the market for a new car?
Carlton's co-major partner Hyundai offers Blues members up to $1,000 cash back on any new Hyundai vehicle purchase.
For over 25 years, Hyundai has driven our club forward as a co-major partner, supporting us as players as well as you, our members.
From the Kona to the Palisade, there's a Hyundai vehicle to suit every Blue Bagger.
The Carlton cashback offer is available across all Hyundai dealerships in WA, so let us and Hyundai steer you in the right direction.
Terms and conditions apply. Head to www.carltonfc.com.au/Hyundai to find out more.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. Tech Tiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor. With over 20 years of experience, let Blair Buckingham, your master framer, help make your memories lasting ones with his framing expertise. An extensive range of products assures you will find what you are looking for at Master Picture Framers. Fast, friendly service and professional custom framing in all aspects answers all of your framing inquiries. Our display of original artwork is always available in our showroom, and Blue Baggers displaying their 2022 membership card can receive a 20% discount on all framing. Master Picture Framers Cannington, come see us today.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the UWA Blues. Time now to cross live to 1995 Premiership hero and all-round good guy, Matthew Hogg. Good morning, Matty, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on again.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, mate. Matty, look, before I let the panel ask some questions, mate, can you just tell the listeners, what are you actually up to these days?
Oh, look, just a fair bit in terms of I've got the four boys at home, so two of those play footy, so I'm pretty much just invested in their careers and from a work perspective, yeah, been in the same industry for about 30 years in the graphic arts and printing, so a bit like Diesel on Sticks and Brattles. A few of us have been in the printing game for a while, but yeah, pretty much just focused on the boys and what they're doing, and yeah, my 17-year-old's at Carlton training at the moment. He's going to be there next week, which is really good. As part of the Father-Son Academy. So, yeah, really just invested in him and trying to give him the best opportunity to fulfil his dreams. So that's where I spend most of my time these days.
Good to hear, buddy.
Hey, how you going, Matty? Craig here. Sorry for the voice. Craig. We're a little bit rusty here today. We drowned our sorrows last night. Look, you started your career at Essendon under-19s, then you moved on to the Bulldogs, then to the Mighty Blue Boys. How did you actually find your way to Carlton?
Yeah, that's right. I had 1 year at Essendon. Back in those days, they didn't have the draft system. It was all around the zone. So lived in the Essendon District League. So yeah, one season there. I think it was about 19 games. I didn't do too bad. But yeah, that was the mid 80s, and the Bombers were pretty strong back then. So just basically said, yeah, I need to look at some opportunities elsewhere, and then yeah, moved over to the Bulldogs and had six seasons there, two in the under-19s and four on the senior list. And yeah, first couple of years there were under Mickey Moldhouse, which I loved. Then he took over, went over to the West, obviously, and won his two premierships, I think it was, in about 5 years, which was pretty good. And then had 2 years under Terry Wheeler, and yeah, had probably a few injuries with Wheels, so I didn't give myself much of an opportunity to prove what I could do there. And they just decided wanted to look at some other options. So yeah, put myself in the national draft, and very fortunate that Carlton picked me up number 18 in the 91 draft. So so that's how I found my way to the Blues, and then had a good 8 years there, which was best time of my life.
Morning, Matt. It's Mel here. You're a member of the 95 Premiership team, although you were injured through most of the season, missing the first 21 games after having foot surgery. You returned in the final round and played the finals to earn a Premiership medallion. Can you talk us through the year and taking home the cup?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was it was an interesting season, that one. You know, you talk about the highs and lows in footy. That season had everything for me. The year before, played every single game, represented Victoria, played all the finals, so I had a really good season, really keen to have a big 95, and don't know, maybe I just worked a little bit too hard pre-season, and then 2 weeks before the first game, I broke down with a foot injury, and that required surgery, so I missed the first 12 weeks, and came back through the reserves, probably around 15, 16, I started to hit my straps with some form, but then just couldn't get back into the team. For the next 5 or 6 weeks, I think we'd only lost round 8 and round 9, so the boys were on a roll, everyone was playing well, coaches didn't really want to make any changes with the team, which is fair enough. So, yeah, really had to wait till that last round of the year. It was quite bizarre, actually. We had two players pull out with the flu, so then I was elevated along with a guy, Tony Lynn, and I came onto the grounds. That was against Essendon, actually, last round. It was almost like a finals atmosphere, so it was a pretty big crowd at the G. And, yeah, came on the ground about, I think it was about the 10-minute mark of the third quarter, and, pretty much played a quarter and a half. So that's all I really did for the whole home and away season, which was quite interesting. And then I was just very fortunate. I had a pretty good game in those, quarter and a half that I was on. But then lucks of fortunes, excuse me, I was very fortunate. The first final, Diesel was suspended for a week for abusing the umpire against the Bombers. So that kept me in the side, which was really good. Had another reasonably good game. And, winning the first final, we had that rest in week two and went straight to the prelim. And then I just thought, the thought process was, Diesel will just come straight back in and I'll move out. But then, again, as the lucks of fortune, Camporelli, it was his first season as a young kid and he had a bit of hamstring soreness. So they just said, look, we'll just give you that extra rest. I stayed in the side, had another pretty good game. That was at the G against North Melbourne. that big Bog Heap game. So, yeah, that week of the grand final, that Thursday night, you know, was the longest match committee night ever. And I still remember Styx walking out and just coming over and shaking my hand and said, Hoggy, you're in. And so, yeah, I was just absolutely lucky that a few things fell my way. And then poor old Troy Bond, he was the guy that missed out. He played 16, 17 games, had a pretty good year, but fell away towards the end of the year in terms of form. So I was able just to slide in and just, yeah, ready for that opportunity. And, yeah, obviously got a gig, and I suppose it's every footballer's dream, isn't it, to play in a premiership side at the highest level. So, you know, that particular game, that day, and then what followed after that was, yeah, it was just an amazing experience and something I'll never forget.
Morning, Matt. Lewis Young has made a very impressive start in the number 33 down at Icon Park. How have you found his start at Carlton?
Yeah, I think he's I think he's been pretty good. I always take a bit of an interest in the 33 and who comes through. So, you know, I was at last night's game, and I've been to probably half a dozen games this year. And yeah, he's a good, solid kid. Still learning his craft. I feel he's probably had the work cut out for him the last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks with weathering out, because I think he's probably good to take the number 2 or 3 forward. So he's really had to step up and you know, he's on Maxi King last night, and I think the last game I went was Richmond. He was up against Revolt and Lynch. So those guys probably had the better of him, but you know, he did do pretty well in most of the contests. So yeah, when weathering gets back, I think he'd be pretty happy with that. And then I think he'll just grow and develop like all the big tools do. You know, hopefully he can play 100 games, get his name on the locker. But no, I'm pretty impressed. He's pretty good. I think 200 centimetres, good solid kid. So, yeah, he'll find his way and hopefully have a good long career.
Mate, you played with one of my childhood heroes in Cooter. We've now got Charlie coming through. Can you see the similarities between the two?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Charlie, he's had a pretty good year, hasn't he? He's so athletic, you know, very hard to match up on one-on-one. I mean, every time we get the footy down pretty quick, he generally beats his opponent. So, yeah, it's interesting, isn't he? He's 2-3 years ago, you just saw shades of brilliance in the things that he could do, and a couple of years on the sidelines with his knee injuries. And, this year's really shown what he can do. And, yeah, what a fantastic season. I think he was, up until last night, it was leading the Coleman. And, yeah, he's an exciting player for us. And, you know, Cooter, yeah, so it's interesting, Cooter. I mean, he's obviously an absolute superstar. And I think when you look at those similarities, I think the one thing with Cooter, like Cooter could play anywhere, Cooter. You know, he could play forward, back. He could play on a wing, midfield. You know, Parko even used him in the ruck a couple of times because he had a fantastic vertical leap before he did his knee. So, yeah, there's certainly some similarities. But Charlie, just being that, I suppose, not one-dimensional, but he's just that key four. That's really where he can play. But just exciting, isn't it? It's just great to watch those players. They're just the ones that are very athletic and you can kick and goal. He was inaccurate last night. I think he kicked 4 points, but, you know, you have those games. But, yeah, he's certainly been a key factor for us climbing up the ladder this year, that's for sure. His influence on the games.
Talking of key factors and excitement, what about Sammy Walsh? He's finally hit his straps with over 40 disposals last week with playing the Dockers. Do you see him taking out a Brownlow?
Yeah, I think I might have said last year. I think he's a kid that can. It's got those attributes to he's just an absolute star, and I love watching him. I'm a 17-year-old, as I said earlier. Every time we go to the football, I'm always saying, look, have a look at Walshy. Look at his work rate. Look where he runs. You know, he's just a smart player. You know, whether it's winning it in close, winning it out wide, you know, his effort and commitment is just unbelievable. And so, yeah, definitely see him potentially winning a Brownlow. But I think with him and Crippo, it's a bit of a raffle there. They might be pinching votes off each other. And, we might have a second and third position maybe. But he's certainly... Yeah, like for a young kid to come in, and he's got leadership qualities as well, which we all, you know, everyone has seen, and the way he speaks, and so yeah, he's just a superstar. So yeah, I think wouldn't be surprised if I see Charlie Brownlow around his neck one day, because he's just makes such an influence on the games, and he's a great kid, doesn't back up the umpires at all. So yeah, it's just great to watch.
We seem to be pretty well blessed with good running half backs at the moment at Carlton with Sardi and Doherty. How important is it to have like those genuine line breakers in the side And how have you actually found both Saad and Doherty's season so far?
Saad, he's incredible, actually. I've watched a bit of him as well this year. He's so clean. He just backs his ability in every time. Even last night, like Hill, you know, is a pretty quick player for the Saners, and just, you know, taking him on, and he's just a star. And one-on-one, even against some of the taller players, he's really good as well. But I think the modern game, those running halfbacks, as you said, to break the lines, you know, just the way the team defence is all structured now, get the footy in quick to either a Harry or a Charlie, it's absolutely critical. And Doherty's the same. And, you know, so, you know, Doherty adds a little bit more in terms of he's that probably that good intercept mark as well, and then he runs and carries. So, yeah, those two players are just great to watch when they're in full flight. And I think, excuse me, as you said, like in the modern day today, the running halfbacks and those intercept mark players are just absolutely critical if you want to play, you know, play a part in September. So, yeah, exciting to watch them too, that's for sure.
Matty, you play with one of the AFLs and probably one of Carlton's greatest ever captains in Sticks, Stephen Kernaghan. What was it like playing under Sticks?
Yeah, he was a champion. I've said, you know, multiple times to people that he's just the best bloke I've met in footy, Sticks. You know, whether you're the best player at the club or the youngest kid, he's always got time for everyone. You know, we go on our golf trips every year for 3 or 4 days. Wherever we go, he just gets swamped. And he just gives people the time of day. He talks to everyone. We have to try and drag him away sometimes. So, look, mate, we're here to catch up with the boys. But, yeah, he just gives his time to everyone. And I think, you know, when I was playing, we all just looked at him as that perfect captain. And, you know, if you think about, you know, from the leadership point of view and then being able to lead by example on match day and you know, I'll show you what I can do. And he's just got both of those attributes. And you look at some of the captains today, you know, some clubs have got, you know, 2 or 3 captains because they just don't, you know, they can't tick all those boxes. So, no, he's an absolute champion and, you know, great player. I mean, who can forget his 93 and 95 performances, you know, kicking 6 or 7 goals in those. He was just, yeah, he just leads by example. Everyone loves him. You know, he certainly introduced a lot of really good team bonding things when he was captain. You know, just as a quick example, would, you know, it was almost compulsory after every game, away game this is, because home games you'd head up into the social club at Princess Park, but any away game, it was a compulsory 2 drinks, you know, at a hotel afterwards, you know, whether it be alcohol or soft drink or whatever, everyone had to go there, including partners, and that just really galvanised the whole group, and we all became good mates just because of that one simple thing where, I don't know, I think you look now, players have their showers, grab their bags and they shoot off and don't really have that, but that's just one thing that I'll always remember that he had as his golden rule that, yeah, everyone had to go, and it certainly helped, you know, in terms of the friendships and the mateships and wanting to play together. So, no, he's a champion, Sticks, and, you know, he's put a lot of time back into the club as well over the last 25 years, and so, yeah, he's just a legend. We all love him.
How good was it to see Vossie after the game against the Dockers last week saying that he thinks it's the best game that we've played all year? With the change in form this year, what, if any, do you attribute this to Vossie?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, what a game. I wasn't there at the Fremantle game and only saw some highlights, but yeah, from all reports, yeah, just in terms of the way that we played, he just felt that was our best team performance. Everything seemed to click well for us, and they're a quality side, Fremantle, obviously, and you know, they're in the top four. So yeah, I think that certainly a lot of merit in what he said in terms of our performance and where we're going and what we're doing. But I think, look, Vossie is a person, you know, he was always a hard nut player. The players really respect him from what I've heard, and you know, like a triple premiership player and Brownlow medalist, and that's really what you want in the clubs. You want these players, ex-players that are coming through as coaches, that they, you know, when they talk to the kids, they just hang off every word and they really buy in to the game plan and all those types of things, because it's just such a critical component. So it certainly looks like everyone's playing together, everyone's doing their bit, and you know, I think the things that he's instilled this year is probably that hardness and the toughness and, you know, really that defensive pressure, which I felt we've been lacking the last few years. And, you know, when the opposition would get a run on, you know, they'd just run away with the game. So I think, yeah, this year, sides might be kicked there 2 or 3. But then we're able to claw back, you know, and nullify them and then reload and go again. So I think he's made a huge influence on that group. And just that belief, I think every time you hear him speak, he's, you know, what does he say? He doesn't want to put any limits on our performance and where we go. And yeah, I think that it just feeds through the players and the playing group. And, you know, shit, we are good enough. And, you know, we can hopefully maybe do something in September, but there's no expectations, but just go out and enjoy it. So I think everyone looks like they're really enjoying their footy down there, that's for sure.
Well, following on from that, like we see like the old clips of Parco addressing players in the huddle, and even though he got the jugulars out and he's a bit angry and that sort of thing, it always looked like it was a galvanised group, and that's just a personal opinion because I wasn't there, I wasn't around. But now, like living through this experience with Vossi, it certainly looks like Vossi's got the boys humming in the same way, and they do now sort of seem like a bit more of a galvanised group, just like you guys were back in, you know, the years of 95 and all that.
Yeah, absolutely. Parco, he was an interesting bloke, Parco, wasn't he? He was. It's funny, no doubt you guys probably would have met him in some of those trips over to Perth, but he's, you know, he's a different guy outside of match day, you know, at training and stuff. You could talk to him nice and calm, but come match day, he would just get into that zone and his intensity was there, but, and you could just feel that passion. He just loved his footy and loved to win, and that really fed through the playing group, and that's really where, you know, as I said before about Vossi, everyone loved playing for Parco, and he's just such a great talker. So, you know, every time, no matter who you play, you know, pre-match speeches, they were just first class. He'd always bring up a story or something, and you just feel like he could run through a brick wall, and that was really what he brought to that group. And, you know, he had all the talent there to do the rest. And Vossi, you certainly see exactly the same. You know, certainly the structures and a few things, you know, having my boys down at the club with the Father-Son Academy, and you get a bit of a, you know, feed through of information on what they're doing. So they've, you know, their midfield structures are a lot better this year. A lot of new initiatives they introduced. So yeah, that buy-in from all the playing group, and just with Vossi as a person, you know, he's got the good side where you can talk to the players and communicate with them, but you've got the harder side where, you know, we're here to win. There's a purpose. You know, it's a business in a sense, but. So they've got that good balance, I think, and that's really what the group's brought this year.
Matt, you mentioned that you were at the game last night. Can you give us your take on the game?
Yeah, it was a frustrating game, actually. It was, you know, Saints got off to a bit of a flyer, and you could really see that they've turned up to play, and they'd lost their last three. So I was expecting to win by probably five or six goals, but they had some really good inclusions that I was a bit concerned about. You know, Paddy Ryder, they always seem to win when he's playing, and he had a pretty good game. I think he hit the scoreboard with a couple of goals. Higgins is a lively forward. You know, he's always dangerous. He hit the scoreboard. And then Bradley Hill was another inclusion, and he was just on fire. Like that first quarter, just running off half-back, and playing that half-back running line player that you mentioned before, and those three players had a huge impact. And even Sinclair, the mullet man, we call him, he had a big game as well. So I think they certainly came to play, and we had to be on our best performance. And I thought we played pretty well. I thought our commitment, intensity to the footy, but just our conversion rate on goal, to kick 18 points. You know, Charlie, as I said before, kicking 4 points, he's normally, you know, pretty accurate with his goal kicking. So I think that was really the difference in the game. 15 points, I think, the margin. And it was really just our accuracy on the scoreboard. Saints certainly put it up to us. Well, I thought we responded, but that's probably just high level. That's probably the assessment on the game. I'm sure there's some other little things there, a couple of iffy umpiring decisions here and there, which was frustrating. But it went both ways. But I really feel it probably accuracy on goal was the thing that you know, with the opportunities we had, that was the difference, I think.
Yeah, totally agree, mate. Anyway, we better wrap it up there, buddy. Mate, on behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you very much for sharing your precious time with us this morning. And as always on this show, buddy, go the Blues.
Go the Baggers.
Go the Blues. Thanks for having me on again. See you guys.
Thanks, mate.
Matty Holt.
What an awesome...
That was a great interview. Yeah.
Great chat. Really good chat.
He's a good guy. But anyway, we've got to go... Sorry, Craig, I have to jump in. We've got to go once again for a break and a few words from our sponsors. But when we return, we've got the great man, David the Hyphen Reece Jones. Go Blues.
Go the Baggers.
I wasn't saying. The official Western Australia supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here, we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, games, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues play live. For more information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Go Blues! If it's your first home, or if it's time to renovate, refinance or invest, ICU Finance Group is here to help make it happen in residential and commercial finance. Alton D'Souza, the sole director, is someone who shops around for the best loan features that are suitable to your individual circumstances. He will manage the process from start to finish. For every loan, Alton will donate $500 to Carlton Respects. Call Alton D'Souza now on 0407 998 768, ACL 441658. We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialist in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark, engrave, print, identify, Charles Street, North Perth.
When you want the highest quality meat with friendly service and value for money, only one name should come to mind. Barbaro Butchers. It's a name renowned in WA and across Australia since 1987. Their high standards, premium products and impeccable service is what sets Barbaro Butchers ahead of the rest. Delivering the highest quality cuts of beef, pork, lamb and chicken, they can even provide catering packages to suit your needs. Drop in and see Raff and the team at 120 Cockman Road in Greenwood or call 9247 4244. Barbaro Butchers, proud supporter of Breakfast with the Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. Time now to cross live to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, David the Hyphen Reece Jones. Good morning, David, and how are we this morning?
Good morning, guys. Oh, well, we're all a little bit disappointed after last night, but... Yeah, look, they had a pretty well full strength team in and look very strong. And you know, once you look at the teams on paper and look at what we had out, we've probably got six or seven of our best 22 out. So yeah, we fought it out, but just weren't good enough.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing after a great win the following Saturday against the Dockers, and then you're right, with that personnel out, and they had some great ins with, like I thought Paddy Ryder played a great game, and Jack Higgins as well. It was always going to be a tough one because they were under the pump, the Saints, and they really had to win to keep their season alive.
Oh, and they showed that in the first 5 minutes. They come out hard, they put a lot of pressure on, they were hard at it, as you'd expect. I mean, you know, players who play at that level have got a lot of pride in their own ability, and I think that, you know, they're boosted by their inclusions. Naturally, Ryder was fantastic, and I think he taught Tom DeConning a little bit of a lesson, and, you know, that's what's going to happen, though, to young Tom DeConning at the moment. You know, the experienced ruckmen are going to know how to play him, and they're going to be able to curtail his ways, and he needs to learn ways to get around that too. So, you know, it's a learning curve for a lot of them, but, yeah, it's still disappointing, I think, in the end, because we had our chances in front of goal and couldn't put them through.
Hi, we were just talking to Matt Hogg just before, and he was at the game. Oh, morning, Hyph, it's Mel here.
I think he knew that.
Well, I assumed it was you, Mel.
And he was saying, like, one of his main comments was Charlie kicking four behinds. He was a little bit, you know, not informed, but do you think we were just shaken after the first quarter? Do you think they were just a bit rattled?
Yeah, a little bit, but they fought their way back into the game. It was funny, I was watching Charlie kick before the game. I was at the ground also, and his kicking was terrible before the game. He was missing shots, and when he had his first shot, I had my daughter with me, and I turned to her, I think he's only about 30 metres out directly in front. I said, he'll miss this. I said, the way he was kicking for goal before the game, he was just off. He, you know, his kicks were just not good. So, and he missed it. You know, it was a pretty easy shot directly in front, and he missed it. And I thought, you know, sometimes with forwards, it could get into your head. And you know, I would have left him out there and made him kick until he started kicking straight, sort of thing. You know, I mean, what's he going to do in the rooms? And he's not going to improve his kicking in there. So, yeah, he, you know, one of those things where it just had an off night.
I think Charlie needs to go back to just getting all compact, nice and straight. We saw, like, last year when he first came back in for those, like, four games, a lot of his shots he was having, he was running around the corner, like, trying to use the arcs and all that sort of thing. But I found, like, early on this year when he was kicking and he was making those set shots, he had a very deliberate approach. It was very compacted. It was very straight. And he was obviously kicking the ball a lot straighter. And I think he just seems to be rushing it now a lot more.
Yeah, and he's more or less chipping at the ball too. He's not kicking through it as well. So, yeah, he's definitely a confidence thing and something he's got to work on. And even Harry, you know, Harry had a couple of bad misses too that you'd expect him to get. But, yeah, look, I think overall, you know, it was a pattern out there today. We missed some, you know, shots on goal we should have kicked and would have been able to put a bit more pressure on the Saints, who did look a bit wobbly at times when we did put the pressure on. So, but as I said, they were fighting for their year, and they had probably the, you know, I couldn't remember one player who wouldn't have been in the best 22 wasn't out there, so they weren't missing anything. So, you know, it's going to be good to get Weeders back next week. That's plus one for sure, and Pitnet in the next couple of weeks as well. It's going to be very, very handy.
Yeah, it definitely will. One guy that impressed me last night was young Jesse Motlop. I think he's going to be a player, this kid.
Yeah. Hopefully he can, you know, start stringing some games together and probably needs to, you know, pick up a bit more possessions and a little bit more on the forward pressure too, I'd like to see out of him. But he'll learn that. And, you know, Durden and Owies down there as well. Obviously, we didn't have Owies last night, but... you know, those small forwards can really help your tools. And, look, he looked exciting at times, but, I still think he needs to do a little bit more, you know, around the play and with his pressure and so forth.
I actually thought best on ground for me last night was Kennedy. Like, I think he was leading? Like, I thought he was great.
What, do you have 20-odd and 2 goals or something?
Yeah. What's your thoughts?
He would have been probably my top two, I suppose. Although Adam Sard had another great game, I thought he sort of really does some brilliant things off that back line and really does help set us up. But we did have, you know, a lot of players who were probably down. And I was surprised to see, you know, the possessions that Walsh and Cripps had, you know, 33 and 31, I think it was, each, where they weren't damaging at all. You know, normally Walsh, he picks up his 30-plus possessions and he's very, very damaging. So that's full credit to St Kilda, though. Their midfield, you know, as I said, right from that first bounce, they went hard at it and they put us on the back foot. And I think the clearances and that broke about even, but ours were sloppy clearances out and they were able to get some clean ball out of the midfield and give their forwards, which, you know, when you're there looking at them and they're head and shoulders above our backmen and you've got, you know, Kemp playing his, what's his, sixth or seventh game sort of thing, having to go onto Ryder and Marshall and some real tall timber down there. And I thought Lewis Young did an admirable job again in the back line against King. King really didn't sort of get into it till late where his height sort of stood out. But,
Hi, being at the game yesterday, we've just obviously covered off a little bit earlier in the show, respect round. There was meant to be, like, we were watching at our event, they had the Fox coverage, and we didn't actually see any of the pre-game respect round. Was there much actually done at the ground? I think there were before the game?
Yeah, there was. It was a great sort of, there was some speeches out there, some people with beacon things with respect written on them, but they asked the crowd to turn their, they turned the lights off around the crowd and turned their phones turned the torch on their phones. And it was amazing, you know. I mean, nearly everyone in the ground had their torches out. You can imagine, you know, a sea of light coming out. And that was, very, very significant before the game even started, I suppose. And dealing with another area, not with football, of course. But, and there were a few things said about it. So it was all done very, very well.
I think in that first quarter, the pressure from us wasn't up to the standard that we've seen in most of this year so far. And I think Vossi summed it up pretty perfectly as well. He said, we didn't respect their pressure that they were showing St Kilda. And we seemed to just overuse the hands a little bit in that first half, especially. I feel like we just took that one extra hand pass when we probably should have kicked.
Yep. Oh, look, the turnovers killed us. You know, there were some absolute howlers there last night. And you just think, what are they thinking, you know? Kicks going into the midfield, which were floating in, you know, and giving the opposition a chance to be able to spoil. And yeah, so it was, they'll look at all those things. And unfortunately, a few of the culprits who do it quite often were there again, front and square. But yeah, they scored a lot of their goals through bad turnovers, you know, up the field, which were able to get into their forward line and get into their key forwards. And convert from there, so they were pretty good with that.
Sorry, Hype, I'm just laughing in here. Craig was just going to ask you a question, but he's that dusty, he can't get his words out.
Well, we've all been there before.
It's in the head, Reece. The mouth just can't get it out.
But me being the positive person I am, can we focus on the game against Freo just very quickly before we have to wrap it up, Hype? And I mentioned to Hoggy before, Vossi was really proud and he thinks it's the best game we've played all season. It was good to actually see us play. Well, we played three quarters of footy, really. We didn't play the first quarter so well, but, you know, so good to see us come across the line.
Yeah, it was, and you know, it was a good team effort too. I think everyone did their job, you know, and it was probably the opposite last night. We were able to take control and take it away from Freo, who had been a pretty good team all year, but we were able to dominate the midfield and play the game on our terms, and that's what St Kilda did to us last night. So you know, the tables turned pretty quickly in this game, and you've got to be on the ball and ready to go, you know, week in, week out, which can be tough. I mean, we see it with, you know, Melbourne lost three in a row, and you know, the good teams do too. So it's a lot of it's above the shoulders, but you know, you've just got to prepare yourself as best as possible. But as I said, look. I think what we need to really look forward to is the players we're going to be getting back over the next few weeks, and that's going to bolster us and add a lot of reliability, I suppose, in our team.
Yeah, I definitely agree that once we bolster that side up, the latter half of the year will look pretty good. Also, I just think that like from the 6-day break, having that 6-day break from they're playing Fremantle to last night's game, and having up such a combative sort of style that we have been playing, and especially against Fremantle, we just looked a little bit off and a little bit tired. And I think, without making excuses, that 6-day break did hurt us in the end.
Oh yeah, look, it's coming up, you know, week in, week out sort of thing, and we've got a lot of, you know, younger players who are probably getting exposed. A little bit earlier than they should be because of the injury count we've had, and especially on our back line. Our back line's, you know, been really decimated, really, from injuries and so forth. So, and that's, you know, that's a cornerstone of your team, your back line. So, yeah, we've been able to, I've been surprised and pleasantly surprised by the way we've played, and we didn't get flogged last night, you know. I mean, in years past, you know, the heads would have been down and we would have cocked an 8-9 goal hiding. But no, they fought it out, and they fought it out well.
Yeah, they did, mate. Anyway, look, we better wrap it up. We've got it, and we look forward to next week. We've got the big match over here against the Eagles, and we've got a massive function coming up. But as always, mate, thanks for sharing your time. And as always, here go the Blues, and let's hope we can get a win over the Eagles next Sunday,
better.
Mate.
We better.
We need to, because they're getting a lot of players back, yep, too. They're getting back to full strength, so... it won't be an easy one.
No, it won't. But we'll step up. We'll,
yeah, all right, we'll see you next week. Go the Mighty Blues.
Go the Mighty
Blues. Thanks, Reece.
There you go. A good man.
Champion.
Yeah, legend.
Look, as I just mentioned before, we do have that massive pre-match function coming up, the Eagles game. at the Camfield in the hall. No restrictions this time, which is great. Remember the last time against Freo, there was the COVID restrictions and it was capped at 250.
We had to turn people away at the door. It was
good to see good Carlton numbers. That was good.
But this time there's no restrictions.
So heaps of Carlton people.
Everyone get down.
Look, the pre-match is going to start at 11 a.m. It'll go from 11 till 2. Game starts at 2:40, so it gives you plenty of time to get to just walk across into Optus and watch us hopefully beat the Eagles. As I said, entry, members are free. Non-members, gold coin donation, as I mentioned earlier in the show. All goes to Carlton Respects. Yeah, whatever you can give, give. If you can't, that's all good. Raffle item. Great raffle item. $5 a ticket, or 3 for 10. We've got the 1987 WA Premiership Players signed jumper. So we've got signed by Kenny Hunter, John Doherty, and Richard Rocky Dennis. And hopefully Richard Rocky Dennis could be there to present it to you. So,
well, he told us last night he was going to be there.
After the conversation I had with him last night, we'll see what happens.
But we're all a bit male last night.
That's okay, it's okay.
I wasn't.
Look, we're going to have two great auction items as well. We're going to have the Mark Murphy signed 300 game commemorative jumper.
He needs my book. He needs my book.
And we're also going to have the Sam Walsh signed jumper. All come with the AFLPA Certificate of Authenticity. And as always, beautifully framed by Master Picture Framers in Cannington. We'll also have our end of season raffle tickets there as well. First prize is 1995 Premiership Players from WA Sun Jumper, Earl Sporting, Matt Clappay. Once again, beautifully presented and framed by Master Picture Framers Canikin.
And hopefully, Earl and Matt. Have you reached out to them to see if they're going to come down? And
not for this.
Oh, not
Sunday,
for the end of season.
Second prize for that is two seats at, as guests of the Hyundai in the Hyundai VIP suite at RAC Arena. Runner-up prizes is $500 cash donated by Allmark and Associates, great sponsor of the WA Blues. $400 voucher donated by Master Picture Framers, another great sponsor of the WA Blues. And $250 voucher by Barbara O'Butchers. What are you trying to tell me, Mel?
Well, we have a members raffle as well. Probably not.
Also, too, there'll be representatives from the club. We've got guest speakers. I've got a little feeling we may have Ash Hansen coming down, which is great. We may have a special appearance from a past legend and absolute superstar of the Blues that lives in WA.
I'll be there.
Peter the Buzz Bazusto will be there.
The Buzz. He'll be there.
He's excited, guys. He's very excited.
So, look, get down there. Like, we want to see as many blue baggers as we can. And, look, tickets are actually going to go on sale on Tuesday, okay? And it's the reason why this is all, it's all because of the Eagles. It's one ticket per member, and, again, that's because of the Eagles, so no guest passes. So I think it's about midday the tickets go on sale on Tuesday. So make sure you get there. Let's try and get as many blue supporters as we can. Anyway, we better wrap up the show. Another great show. Great interview with our good mate, Matty Hogg.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Been on before. He's
brilliant.
Great. As always, a great man, David Rees-Jones. And as always on this show,
go the Blues.
Go the Baggers.
Go the Mighty Blues.
You're a bit
Blues.
Slow on your buttons over there,
Yeah.